Jamie.
Welcome to the Canine Cooperative Podcast.
All right. Hi, everybody. It's Jamie.
And Sabrina.
And we are back for another Canine Cooperative Podcast. And we are hot to trot
today.
We are fired up. These are our best podcasts when we're aggravated about something and we're just raving.
Grinds my gears. No, grinds my gears, Jamie.
What grinds them, Sabrina? So today's topic is something that we're coming up against a lot with our clients, in the dog training community, with just talking to people. And it's something that goes hand in hand with a theme that we're very passionate about, which is educating people about canine body language and culture. And this missing piece of the puzzle is a huge factor, especially when you're rehabilitating any sort of aggressive tendencies, meaning a dog who has a bite history or aggression towards another dog or people or stranger danger, or has nipped somebody, or is reactive, or anything like that.
Or a dog that has a propensity to do so, and these small, subtle signs are not being heeded.
Yes.
It will launch you into that behavior.
Yes.
So,
resource guarding. Whatever.
So, today's topic is your dog is
not
fine. The kids are not all right.
Yeah.
So, what do we mean by this? We've had a lot of, obviously we have a lot of experience in this realm, but we've had a lot of conversations with people lately where this has come up, right? Because they have dogs that show very explosive behaviors, right? And that's usually when people take notice to dogs, right?
Yeah.
Something as simple as jumping up to something as like attacking your neighbor.
Yeah.
When the dog is quiet.
Yeah.
The owner goes, but he's fine. He's fine during the day. He's fine in this situation.
Yeah.
He's fine in that situation.
When I did this, he was fine.
And what fine, massive air quotes that you can't see.
Yeah. They are massive.
What fine to these people look like is quietness, stillness.
The dog isn't bothering them or isn't doing a behavior that concerns them or isn't outward, like there's no growling, showing of teeth, pulling, barking, lunging, no vocalization.
No
Usually
explosion.
It's like no explosion, no vocalization.
But what the dog is doing in those moments is generally freezing.
Yes.
And so that...
Or avoiding. Or lip licking.
Yes.
Self-soothing. All of these different things that are silent communicators.
That you're not fine.
That the dog is not okay. And people don't recognize that because the silence and the stillness doesn't bother the human. It's not being pulled on leash. It's not scaring you. Quote again, air quotes again. It's not scaring you. And those things, like we hear it time and time again, where it's like, oh, well, my dog is reactive, but in this situation, the dog is fine. Well, the dog's sitting there with its eyeballs bugging out of its head, stress panting, shaking, climbing up the person's body. Like all of these things are just sitting there and they can't hold it together. The dog isn't fine. What people mean when they say that is the dog isn't doing something to aggravate me in this moment.
Yeah. But the dog is just quiet.
Yeah.
And honestly, quiet and stillness is always the last thing that happens before a dog tries
to... every single time.
Absolutely go fucking bananas on something.
Yeah.
So let's bring up some examples of what we've been...
talking about.
Been talking about so we can kind of create a broader picture for everyone listening.
Yes. And let me just preface this. We did another podcast a while back. And it was along the lines of, it's not out of nowhere.
Correct.
I think that's what it was called.
Yes, which is really piggybacking
off
of that podcast.
Yeah, so I just want to reference that. So if you haven't listened to that podcast, please go back and do so. Because that will kind of, that goes hand in hand with this, where people say it's out of nowhere. But this is a different emotional vein of that podcast. Out of nowhere means people are just not aware of their dog's signals, and again, they were quiet and then they were caught off guard. This is more of a dismissive or
No, I think that's a really good way of putting
this
it.
This is a more dismissive thing because the dog was fine.
Or maybe it's self-soothing for the owner.
Yes,
mentally. Self-soothing.
Yes, it's less of a lack of education and more of a, the dog's not bothering me in this moment. It's more dismissive and it's more like, but it really wasn't a big deal when it's a big deal.
Correct.
So it's, I mean, to use a hot button term, it's almost like gaslighting your dog.
Yeah, no, it is gaslighting your dog. Ooh.
Mm. Maybe we should change the topic.
Are you gaslighting your dog?
Yeah.
Ooh, shit.
But yes, that would be a good pop quote right there. Are you gaslighting? I'm going to take that down. That's a good one. But that's really what it is that because it your dog is communicating with you and telling you in ways that it's organic to them that they are uncomfortable and you're dismissing those signs because it doesn't bother you or you don't see it as a warning or take it seriously. And nothing might come out of that moment, but then it's the next moment.
Definitely adds fuel and anticipation for when it repeats itself.
Yeah, so let's get into some of those examples like Sabrina said, because this will give you guys a little bit more context about what we're talking about and what we mean by the next moment. So keeping in mind that like gaslighting your dog, like you might be in a conversation with a significant other and you're going, what you're doing makes me feel X, Y, Z. And the person goes, no, it doesn't. You're misinterpreting what I'm doing. You're fine. It's fine. It's really not as bad as what you're thinking about. And you're going, all right, but it still makes me uncomfortable. And then the next time or the time after that, no, Jackson, sit. We also have dogs in here with us.
Always.
Yeah. The next time that thing happens, there's going to come a situation where your dog's going, I'm not fine. And I can't handle it anymore. And that's what we're talking about, is when your dog repeatedly tells you that these situations, these changes in my environment, these whatevers are making me uncomfortable in a low-level way that organic that comes organically to dog language, psychology, and communication, and you continually dismiss those because they don't bother you, and then all of a sudden your dog follows through and acts on those emotions, and you're going, but he's fine.
And all those other times.
All those other times, why this time? Well, because all those other times, your dog wasn't fine.
Right. So, some of the things that, all right, let's just start with some examples. So, we have one client that we're working with where they have a dog that's very nervous and skittish of new people. And she had to unexpectedly leave her home.
Yeah.
And had a friend come over to take care of the dog. And when they walked into the house, the dog freaked out on this strange person. And leading up to all of this was, I mean, the history of the dog is that you have a dog that...
He's reactive. Situationally.
He also is insecure.
Yeah.
He's definitely shy of new people.
He needs mom to soothe him all the time. He can't self-soothe. He has no management and stuff like that.
So imagine being that personality type and someone barges into your door unannounced.
And he met this person who was going to care for them a few times when mom was present only. She had never come over to the house alone without his owner there.
So... some of the things when we met this dog, this was part of that conversation.
Yeah.
Where the dog was very quiet. And he even allowed us to interact with him a little bit, but you could tell that he was guarded.
Yeah.
And that was part of the conversation because she was like, oh, you know, he's doing so well with you guys. And it, we're like, well, because, no, not really. I mean, yes, because we speak dog, but no, not really. Like, he's uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And just because he's quiet doesn't negate the fact that he still feels this way.
Yeah.
Just because he's not actively trying to rip our heads off
doesn't
mean that he's not uncomfortable. And so the same stuff translates over into her home, too, where when she's not present, he slinks away into these areas of the house to hide. Again... quiet.
Yeah.
But not okay.
Yep.
Because he's literally hiding.
Yeah.
From the fears that he has, that especially going on in that environment. So that's one of those examples that when, and I think she brought up that they went to the vet
and
he
was
fine.
Like what she meant by fine was he allowed people to touch him, manipulate him, examine him, and he didn't try to bite them or react to them, and he wasn't trying to actively flee or run away.
Right.
But some of these situations, the reason we knew the dog wasn't fine is because his headset was low, his carriage of his tail was low. He would investigate us and sniff and then move away. He wasn't making active eye contact. He was stress panting, which is different than regular panting. So he was stress panting the entire time. He was always circling back to mom and whacking her for pets and reassurance. And then when he allowed us to pet him, he continued to ask us to initiate physical touch and affection. Like, he wouldn't take food in the beginning. All of these things were low-level signs that this dog was very emotionally uncomfortable. There was no growling towards us. There was no trying to like panic and run out of the room. There was none of that. But it was very clear to Sabrina and I that this dog was holding his shit together by a very thin thread. And that if anything sudden disrupted the situation, he would go from quote unquote fine to what most people perceive as not fine, growling, barking, lunging, snapping, all that kind of stuff, very quickly if something were to push him over that edge.
And what we're talking about here is social pressure.
Yeah.
And the thing with social pressure is it can have two effects, right? Unwanted social pressure. It can have the effect of you becoming aggressive to get the stuff away, or it can have the effect of freezing, where you just go, oh shit, and you just freeze and pretend like it's not happening.
Mm-hmm.
Neither is good.
No.
And neither has, or both have the same like psychological component behind it.
Mm-hmm.
It's fear.
Yeah.
And eventually that quiet dog will turn into the aggressive dog.
Yeah.
And that's what's important to remember, that just because your dog is fine, and then that's where the out of nowhere stuff happens. No, he was never fine.
He wasn't fine.
And you can see it, but the things that Jamie were describing, those like such nuanced little moments of body carriage, of how is your dog panting, right? Because there's a big difference between stress pant and just regular like panting.
Yeah.
All of that stuff is so important, and what we literally narrate for every one of our clients with their dogs. Because if you can't read this, you don't know what they're saying.
Yeah.
And that's what's going to help you advocate for them in these situations. So they can eventually be fine.
Yeah, absolutely.
But here's another example. Known resource guarder.
Yeah.
Dangerous dog, right? Like going after the family.
Bites, broken skin several times, like chronic offender.
Yes. And he's got size on his side because
he's about 45 pounds.
Yeah. He's not enormous. But still, dangerous behavior. And they've been very successful over the past handful of months working with the dog. However, people also need to understand that, like, dogs are who they are, right? We can help, just like humans, you can help them through bad habits, but the alcoholic is still the alcoholic, right?
Mm-hmm.
The guarder is still the guarder, but we can help them make better choices. We can guide them better to be more successful and all that kind of stuff. But so initially, their interactions were very confrontational in the beginning. So before we met them, the way they were dealing with the resource guarding was very confrontational. So it obviously puts the dog on edge and creates very loud behavior, loud and explosive behavior.
Yep.
The dog feels like he's constantly being, you know?
Like, they think he's fine when he's very well, much not fine.
Well, beforehand, I feel like the behavior was very outward.
Yes.
Right? Like, they were like, okay, because he's growling, he's being very, outward with his feelings. And since working with us, the confrontation between the dog and the human has gone down. So the dog has actually let his guard down.
Yeah.
Right? And which is great, but that doesn't mean he's still not a guarder.
Yeah.
Right? He's still gonna guard. So he was saying how he, you know, they've been doing so well, he gave him a bone and then he went to pet him by accident. It wasn't even something that he did on purpose. And he goes, but he was fine. Was he?
And
does he, like, that moment, I'm like, your dog and you have not practiced confrontation for so long that, yes, that moment you could steal.
Yeah.
Right? You could steal that moment and be like, okay, because the dog, you caught him off guard.
Again, gaslighting.
Yeah.
Like, somebody throws a, you go to therapy for a little bit, communication is good, and then your partner throws a passive aggressive remark, and you're like, did I really take that? Like, it hasn't been like that in a long time.
Right.
Did I really take that how I'm feeling I took that? Or was that like, was he just having an off moment? Was she just like, whatever? Like, just being, or is, are we slipping back into old routines here?
Exactly. And that's where the slope starts, because it's exactly what the dog is thinking.
Yeah.
I mean that in a broader perspective.
Yes.
Not that the dog's actually calculating this, but the dog is like, oh shit.
Yeah.
Are we going back to...
Are we doing this again?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so that can create a lot more tension down the road, assuming that the dog is fine.
Yeah.
You know? And then, lo and behold...
Mm-hmm. Well, even...
Got bit.
Yeah. Well, and things like what we mean by the dog isn't fine. So let's say the dog has... is around a resource. Now, I don't say has a resource. I say is around a resource, because a resource can be anything that's the highest value to the dog at that moment. So it can be a bone, a toy, a sleeping spot, like they're sleeping on the couch.
Let me interject one moment. I worked with a dog who terrifyingly guarded Yankee candles, people. Yankee fucking candles.
The weirdest
thing. It is the weirdest thing. And he used to like take them from the tables.
God.
And like guard them with his life. It was very scary. But anyway.
Yeah.
Anything.
The garbage can. I've seen dogs guard entire rooms.
Yes.
Like they're humans. Dig spots. Sniff spots. Like
balls of lint.
Yeah. Anything that the dog thinks is most valuable to them in that moment, a resource guarder will guard, because that's the resource they have at that moment. So when you approach a dog that is around a resource and they get very still, they clamp their mouth shut, they hold their breath. You can feel them. They are, or if you watch their rib cage, they will not breathe or hold their breath for as long as they can and then take a breath. Their breathing will slow. They usually get what's called whale eyes, where you can see the whites of their eyes, where they're staring at you at the tops of, out of the tops of their eyes, almost like giving you like, hey buddy, back off, this is mine. They get very rigid. And then sometimes if you continue to put social pressure on them or touch them or reach for them, you'll get a growl, or the dog will try to move away, like take the resource and move away from you or move out of that spot. If you follow them, then it snaps. Now, the progression of things go, if you, just like that gaslighting incident, if that low level of your dog becoming stiff and staring at you in quote unquote that tone of voice is disregarded over and over again, that's your dog telling you, this makes me uncomfortable. And that can happen with strangers petting them. Like if you're sitting somewhere and someone reaches for them and you notice your dog gets really stiff, still, and quiet, whether it's in a down position or a sit position, and they kind of have this like, oh no, look on their face.
They kind of like, their chin crawls back into their neck almost.
Right? Most of the time their ears are like tucked behind their head, all that kind of stuff. That's your dog going, I'm uncomfortable, please don't touch me, come near me, mess with me, whatever. If over time, that's their general feeling and they start to anticipate, when I have this thing, when I feel this way, nobody listens to me, and they keep making me uncomfortable by touching me, taking the thing away, whatever, blah, blah, blah. My only recourse is to defend myself. So that's where everybody can be like, he was fine until the incident happened. I could take bones away from him. I could put my hands in the food bowl. I could put my face in his face when he was sleeping. I could lay on top of him. The kids could take anything from him, whatever. if that's the situation, and over time the dog's request for space or to be made more comfortable is disregarded, your dog was not fine through all of those previous incidences, and it just came to a point where they're like, I've had it.
I think the real key is that people need to, I mean, as always, as we preach, that you have to learn body language. You have to be nuanced in this language if you mm-hmm. want to be successful with dogs. And there's just such a current state of dog ownership where it's none of it's for the dog. It's all for the human.
Yeah.
Everything the dog is feeling is disregarded, and it's not fair.
Yeah.
We have to figure out how to do some sort of like podcast on this, but I say oftentimes like dogs are like, they have Stockholm syndrome.
Yeah.
I feel like, you know, and they are completely victims of the people that bring them into their home and their knowledge base. And a lot of the behaviors that we see that owners are so offended by, and so nobody wants to live with a dog that's biting them. Like, I get it, you know? Like, that's not something anybody wants or envisions. But something as simple as speaking the same language
yeah.
and understanding
yeah.
what's going on in these moments, that's what's going to change your relationship and change the outcome in these
yeah.
in these situations.
Yeah.
And make it go from a positive experience to an aggressive one.
Yeah, well, and I mean, here, there seems to be a pendulum swing in this kind of area. And this all surrounds, like, I've been calling it the lost culture of dog. Like, that's kind of my phrase for this. But in losing the culture of what dog is, losing the language of what dog is, I feel like there's two camps surrounding that loss, and they're both missing the mark.
Mm-hmm.
There's people who just don't know, and then they're shocked when their dog behaves like a dog.
Yeah.
They're just shocked. They're like, I don't understand why he would do this to me. I just spent $700 at Petco.
Yeah.
Right? Because he's a dog. He doesn't give a fuck about Petco. Right? But the other camp of this, the other side of this, is people who just don't know, and they take the dog's behavior personally. And then the other camp of this is people who know, and then don't teach the dog how to survive in human society. So they're like, oh, he's uncomfortable. Leave him alone. Everybody leave the room.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
yeah, everybody tiptoe around the dog.
Yeah, tiptoe around the dog. Like, yes, he's telling you he's uncomfortable, but it's our job as pet parents, and I use air quotes because parenting is the greatest, like, bridge to this, to when your child or your ward, your dog, has an emotion, you need to teach them how to safely navigate and respond to that emotion within the culture and society in which they're living. So, like, that's the two-way piece. Is yes, there's a lost culture. People don't understand that their dogs are dogs. But also in the same vein, they need to take response. They can't just let their dogs act on every emotion that they have. That's not how the world works. People need to teach their dog how to respond to that emotion appropriately.
Yeah,
but
absolutely.
But coming back to that, the key to that is learning that low-level communication to understand that your dog wasn't fine. Just because they weren't bothering you or doing something outrageously egregious.
They're not okay.
They're not okay.
And that's something that we all have to be very, very aware of.
Yeah. So if you're a person who has a dog who feels like your dog was fine and all of a sudden they're not fine somewhere in their journey, take a broader picture. Look up from a bird's eye view perspective and actually analyze, was your dog fine, or are you missing communications that your dog is giving you to tell you that they weren't fine for a long period of time before the incident?
And start paying attention to your dog more when they're quiet.
Yeah.
Versus when they're outwardly
yeah.
loud, I suppose.
Yeah.
But watch out for the quiet times more. What are they doing then?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. How are they responding to you in those moments?
All right, guys. Hope that helps.
And we'll talk to you next time.
Bye.
Bye.